good. I think we're ready now. Welcome, everyone. Oh, we got a tree down right there. Well, I guess that's reserved seating for today. Well, it's good to be here today. And as you can tell, we're on our game today. So we're ready to roll this morning. It is indeed a great pleasure to be able to be here this morning, and we're trying to see if we can pipe it through the window here, and it looks like it's going to work. And so we are making that change. And so we are thankful that we can be here and do this, and it's indeed great to be in the parking lot of the Lord today. I wasn't going to say the house of the Lord. I'll say the parking lot of the Lord, because that's where we are. And, you know, any space can be sacred as long as God is there and His people are there. And so that's what we're doing today. We're worshiping, and we're glad that we have this opportunity in which we can do that. Today, we're going to focus on keeping your eyes on Jesus. Paul's letter to the Galatians reminds us of the importance of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are not saved by works. We're not saved by the law, but it's by faith. And so it's faith in Jesus Christ. But Paul's going to add another dimension to it today. He's going to remind us that we're also in the tradition of Abraham, who also exercised that same kind of faith in God. And so we're going to kind of merge a couple of passages from Genesis that reminds us of Abraham and his faith. Abraham went forth on a leap of faith, and God blessed him. And so as Abraham moved out in faith, we also as Christians move out in faith, in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking forward to this message on keeping our eyes on Jesus and not getting derailed. It's so easy to get derailed and get thrown off course on things, and to remember what are the things that are constant. So we're glad that we can celebrate this message today on keeping our eyes on Jesus. Also want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to go to the YouTube channel, do so. Grace put up her first story today, not today, but this Wednesday, played part of it for the deacons on Wednesday. And so the children's story time is now there. So she gave a full-length story. It's about a 6.5-minute video on that piggybacked on the sermon from last week, and that's what she's going to try to do the next coming weeks, is whatever we were hitting on today, kind of piggyback that for the children. But a good story on Noah's Ark and stuff. So take a look at it and share it with people you know. My financial planner called me this week. She has a couple of kids. I said, hey, we got some story time for you. She said, yeah. I said, yeah, y'all just check it out. So you never know who might check it out in that respect. Hey, how y'all doing today? So you never know how, you know, that might turn out. So share it. Take a look at it and share it. And as the old song said, pass it on. And we'll go with that. So it's good to be in the parking lot of the Lord today. Okay, Phil, if you'll help us out here with some music. Yes, indeed, something does happen when Jesus touches your life. It makes all the difference in the world. Today we have the opportunity to celebrate a couple of birthdays. They're set here in direct line of fire. Carol has a birthday on Wednesday. So, Carol, happy birthday. Gwen has a birthday on Thursday. So, happy birthday. And it's always good to be able to celebrate another birthday. And, you know, when we get the age of this group, birthdays become real, real special. And we really appreciate them. And so we're thankful for that. Also, be mindful that Vince and Jen Farrell have an anniversary today. And so we want to remember them and lift them up. And then next Saturday, we'll have a wedding here. Charlie Arnold and Jessica Matthews, this is Jessica's mother-in-law, will be getting married. And so we'll have a marriage ceremony at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And so we look forward to that. Also, next Sunday, after immediately following the worship celebration, we'll have a business meeting. We had a deacon's meeting this past Wednesday here at the fellowship hall. And so we'll have a business meeting and a couple of items that we need to take a look at, some nominations, need to look at some budget proposals, and then also having a discussion about homecoming and how we want to handle homecoming. So please be mindful of that for next week. Hope, anything else we need to add to that? Okay. All right. So please be mindful of that. We have several prayer concerns and celebrations and praises today. As I'm sure everyone knows, after 121 days, Laurie is now home. Saw a good picture yesterday. Looks good. She looks real good. And we're thankful for that, and we realize that that is nothing short of a miracle. And we are very, very thankful for that. Continue to remember Emily Leeds as she is fighting with cancer. Also, I am pleased to report that I've had Edward Constantine, who is a friend of Carol and I, and he's a teacher in the Wake County system. And he had been diagnosed with mesothelioma, and they did surgery on him Thursday of this week. And it looks like they got a good report in terms of being able to get everything that they could find. So continue to remember him and his family in your prayers. I would really appreciate that. Also, continue to remember Sue Alloway. She's at home now. Ray Ensco, are there any updates on Ray Ensco? And so he's doing better? Good. Good. That's good to hear. Right. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, and we're glad that David can join us today. He had an interesting experience with tick, and so we're glad that you're on the other side of that experience and are here with us today. And so it is that season, and have to be mindful of it. Also, continue to remember Juanita and Aubrey Vickers, Ann Williams, also Linda Fogelman had a conversation. Carol and I were able to have a conversation with her this week, and continue to remember her, all the family, Connie and Lee and Linda and William. Things are getting to that point where I mentioned to you last week, there are no more medications, just trying to keep William as comfortable as he can. Have to admire William for the fight that he has given. He has chosen to live each day to the fullest as much as he can, and you have to admire that. And you also are thankful that he's been surrounded by people that are lifting him up and that care about him. So continue to remember all of them as they go through this very, very difficult time. Also, would like to mention to you, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Kaylee, who is a two-year-old that Stephanie Thornton and her husband have, and of course Stephanie is Shirley Madry's daughter, that recently had surgery for a cyst that was not quite right, and so came through the surgery. Are there any updates, Susan, on that, other than that they were okay? Okay. But things are still kind of moving in a good direction. Okay, good. That's good. We are thankful that they were able to do something. Also, several weeks ago, we mentioned Dana Ashley, who is Pat Farrow's nephew, had been in an accident. He is currently still in a coma. So please remember them and your prayers. I know this is a very trying time. And also, let's continue to remember Brandon. Glad he was able to be with us last week. Be with him as he continues to prepare for service for our country. Want to remember him and lift him up. And then also, I'll bring another Bragtown connection. Willis Herwire lives in our neighborhood, and of course, Carl Herwire, for years, pastor at Bragtown, and actually was the pastor when I was there, and as the minister of education. And Willis told me last night that his father, Carl Herwire, had a heart attack, but he is doing better. But those of you that remember Carl Herwire, please lift him up in your prayers. It makes me think back to beginning days of ministry, and it was kind of like Batman and Robin, and I had a mentor there. And so you appreciate those that come into your life at particular points in time. So as you can tell, we've got a lot of people that are going through a lot of different things. And so may we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, for each person that has been mentioned today, we lift them up and place them on your throne of grace. And we ask for your healing mercies. We ask that your presence be felt. We ask that you give us understanding so that we can deal with the answers that you give. Dear Lord, we know that you hear our prayers and that we know that you have our best interest at heart. And so we lift up each person. And for persons that have not been mentioned but are on our hearts, we know that there are many silent prayers going up even at this moment as we are praying here as a group. And we know that you will hear those prayers as well. Dear Lord, we also pray for our schools, as we're dealing with all kinds of issues of who will open, who will not, how and when. Be with all those that are involved in making those decisions, all those that will be teaching, those that will be going, students, administrators, teachers, everyone. Keep us all safe. We also continue to pray for our country, for our economy. We continue to pray that we can treat each other with dignity and respect and unconditional love. And we understand and we realize that Jesus is the answer to all of our issues that we face. And so may we keep our eyes on Jesus. May we keep our eyes with laser focus on what Jesus would have us do, how Jesus would ask us to interact, how Jesus would ask us, and the example that he gave us as to how we go about doing
the kingdom of God. Our Father, we also are so thankful that we can be part of what is happening in the church right now because we are in the midst of a spiritual awakening. We're in the midst of a spiritual revival. We're in the midst of a revival where persons are coming together from all walks of life, from all backgrounds. Your Spirit is moving, even in the midst of the chaos and the turmoil that is taking place. The church continues to move forward. Even with this pandemic, we still meet, even if it is in a parking lot. We still meet, we still worship, we still share the good news. So, dear God, help us to be strong and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God be the glory for the faithful.
heard a lot of really great songs of the church. And he really, the Lord really placed a song in his heart when he wrote that one. And because it summarizes why we as a church exist. Think about it. We worship here today for one reason and one reason only. To give God glory for the things that he has done and continues to do in our life. That's why we're here. The church exists to celebrate God's glory. And if we're not celebrating God's glory, what are we doing? That's why we're here. And so today's lesson, today's message, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is what Paul was trying to remind these young Christians in the faith in the region of Galatia. You see, they had heard the gospel and they had responded to the gospel and they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior by faith. But then there was a group that decided that they maybe ought to follow some laws as well and a little bit more legalism. And so they were kind of getting sidetracked. So here's the first point that I'd like for us to make today and to really live with this coming week. The best way to give God the glory and the best way to live a life that honors God is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and don't waver. Keep your eyes on the Master. There's an old hymn, and had we been able to figure out some things, we would have probably played it this morning, but we were going with what we knew better this morning. But how many of you have sung the song, In Christ There Is No East or West? Anybody remember that song? An old song. A lot of times we would do it when we were having Missionary Sunday or something like that. I remember singing that song. This song is very relevant to what Paul was talking about in terms of not getting sidetracked, keeping the faith in Jesus Christ, and the revival that we are experiencing, that we're beginning to experience in our country, and a lesson that we as Christians need to remember. And so I want to read with you and share with you the four verses to this song. It's a short hymn. And when we're getting back to where we can sing some more, we will do that. We'll sing this song. It's in the hymnal. We were debating over whether it was in the hymnal, so Carol and I checked it out, and indeed it's there. And so we will sing it. But it goes like this. In Christ there is no east or west. In him there is no south or north. But one great family bound by love. And see, we've been talking about that unconditional love. We understand that. We are a fellowship of believers grounded in love. Throughout the whole wide earth. See, if you're a Christian and you meet another Christian in another state or another country, it doesn't matter. Because you're what? Christians. You're Christians. You have a common denominator. Verse 2. In him shall true hearts everywhere their high communion find. His service is the golden cord close binding humankind. That pulls us all together. We are God's children. Verse 3, join hands, disciples in the faith. So we don't just respond to the gospel, but we also build people up. We mentor. And that is something that churches can do better. That's something we all can do better at, and that's discipleship and mentorship of persons in the faith. Join hands, disciples in the faith, whatever your race may be. Whatever your demographic background may be, join hands. And this is what I'm seeing as I look across the spectrum. You're seeing Christians from all walks of life and all demographic backgrounds starting to stand up. Pay attention to that. This revival that's coming will be a revival that brings people from all walks of life. And that is the truth and the power of Christianity and why Christianity is so radical. It breaks down all the barriers, all of them, every one of them, who serve each other in Christ's love are surely kin to me. Fellow Christians are our brothers and sisters. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ now meet both east and west. In him meet south and north. All Christly souls are one in him throughout the whole wide earth. And see, this is what Paul was trying to get at with that message. It is faith in Jesus Christ. It's not the law. It's not something else. It's faith in Jesus Christ. This is what brings us all about together. There is no east nor west. Demographic background doesn't matter. However, too often we don't necessarily glorify God. We don't keep our eyes on Jesus. We tend to get sidetracked or derailed. And there can be many reasons for that. Hey, how's it going this morning? You doing all right? Good to see you. There are many reasons why this happens. But there are several. Here's some things that we can think about. Oftentimes, we give up on Jesus when life gets hard. Think about it. When we're tested, when we're tried, when the walk gets a little harder, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get despondent. Sometimes we give up. Has COVID discouraged you? Yeah, it has. But do we give up? No. No. Because Christ is that anchor which holds us through this experience and will continue to hold us through it. Sometimes we choose to betray Jesus and no longer believe him. I'm reminded of a commentary that I have written by a scholar by the name of Hans-Dieter Betz. And it's a commentary on Galatians. And when he wrote that commentary, he had a very interesting preface. It was written for believers, for unbelievers, and then the one that got my attention, those who no longer believe. You know, we have crises of faith. And I'll be up front with you. There's not a minister around that doesn't have a crisis of faith and doesn't go through it. Some work through it and some don't. There's not a person sitting here that hadn't had a crisis of faith in their life where you were tempted to doubt, where you were tempted to question. It happens. That's when we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's when we want to pay attention to all that Christ has done. See, life can be chaotic. We easily get derailed. But here's something that's important to remember. If you're traveling along a road or a highway and you get to a bridge, what will you see at the bridge? Railings. You get to a curve and you're going through these curves. What do you see on the side of the road? Guardrails. Why are they there? Sometimes you take the curve, what? Too fast. And you're glad to see that guardrail. Or sometimes something unexpected may happen and you have to kind of move out of the way. and that guardrail is there. You ever thought about Jesus Christ being your guardrail? Keep your eye on him, and you'll find the guardrail when you need it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We can constantly be derailed. Does evil exist in this world? Yes, it does. Is the devil real? Absolutely. Can bad things happen? You betcha. But we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we don't need anything more than that. That is enough. But we have to trust it. And we have to rely on it. And see, Paul had gotten really concerned because the Galatian Christians were being sidetracked. Another way of looking at sidetracked. Sometimes things happen like COVID and you kind of get knocked off of your normal. And I don't like this thing about the new normal. And I'll tell you why. Every day is a new normal. Think about it. You can plan for X, Y, and Z to happen, but how many times does A, B, C happen instead of X, Y, and Z? And if you're not prepared for it, what's going to happen? You're going to get flustered. I tried to get here this morning. I got caught by every stoplight. I left my mask. I couldn't remember anything. So I'm thinking, Lord, get me here today. Because for some reason, I'm having a hard time today. There are days like that. We get derailed. We get sidetracked. You know, I'm envious of persons that have dogs that will kind of walk with them or run with them. Now, we have a precious dog, Simon. Y'all may have, many of you, I think, have seen him. Simon is a got a mind of his own. And Carol's like, let's take him for a walk. I said, if he'll walk. Now, he does walk. He does walk, but it's here, and then it's here, and then it's here, and then it's over here. Now, what am I doing? I'm going all everywhere, and how much forward progress are we making, you know? But he's happy, and we have found, Harold has found, if you'll throw him a stick, he'll go after it, so we just got to keep the sticks in front of him. But I say that is a thing of sometimes in our lives we're all over the place. And sometimes things like the pandemic or the chaos that we see all around us, we feel sometimes like that's the way life is. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Allow those guardrails to help keep us on the path that God would have us follow. So, remember to keep the main thing, the main thing. What is our one thing? Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin, conquest of death, living life to its fullest. It's as simple as that, and it's as hard as that. So the second point I'd like to remind us of is our faith in Jesus is our one thing. It is our main thing. The law and legalism and excessive secret knowledge and all this, that, and the other, I'll suggest to you, are mere distractions. And so what did Paul have to say about that? Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? In other words, you know about Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have done this. You have accepted him. I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Now, Paul is making a very strong point here. Did the law bring the Holy Spirit? No. the Holy Spirit is a gift that we receive after what? Christ. It's a gift, a free gift.
Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? In other words, instead of moving forward, why do you want to take three steps, what? Backwards. That's really what he's saying. Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or is it by believing what you have heard? Now, what Paul is really saying here is we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not through the law. The law cannot save us. And so he's asking, is it necessary that we go back to that legalism? Charles Spurgeon, I think, gave a good analogy that we could apply to the law. Consider the law like a spider's web. Let's just say we had a big old spider's web right there that we could see. Spider's webs exist for one reason. They're designed to catch something. And generally, they will. And they're very intricate. But here's something we forget. Those webs are also very fragile. Now, sometimes they can withstand a hard wind. Sometimes a rain, they can still be there. But most of the time, anything with any kind of force will take it down. The law is not strong enough. The only thing that's strong enough to help us through life is our faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul asks them four questions in these verses that I read. The first is, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Now, something that you might not know. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 18 times in the book of Galatians. What does that tell you about Paul and the Holy Spirit and what he was wanting to tell and share with these persons, with the Galatian Christians? The Holy Spirit's important. It's important. And it's a gift. It's a gift we receive as we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have the Holy Spirit as our counselor, as our guide, and as our comforter. And guess what? Here's a good way of looking at the Holy Spirit versus the attempt to try to add the law back in. When you go to a dealership to buy a car, do you have an idea of what it is that you want when you're there? And when somebody's coming up to ask you to help you, are you really wanting a whole lot of help? No. You already got an idea of what you want. Now, what's the tendency to happen? You may have an idea of what you want, but you may leave that dealership with what? Something else. And generally, it's not cheaper, right? It has what we call add-ons. Well, have you thought about this? Would you like this? Well, yeah, that sounds good. That could be good. How many things do we add on? Or, so I kind of like to know, what's in the base price? You know, what do we get that's in the base price for this thing? Or same thing with a house. You have a base price. Oh, this house, you beginning at $200,000. By the time you actually go into that house, how much are you going to pay? $225, $250, $260? Depends on what else you put in that house that wasn't on the what? The base price. All right. With Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. We have victory over death. We have the promise of eternal life. And we get the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit an add-on that's going to be charged at a price? Mm-mm. It's part of the base price.
It's part of the base price. It's a gift that we've been given. And so what Paul is saying, why do you want to go back and add in the law when the law didn't work to begin with? Why do you want to add it back in? That's more baggage. Or those that claim that they can get special knowledge, or that you can get an inside track, or you can be an insider on this. Do you need that? No, you don't. You have the gospel. That's all you need. But we can share it. See, that's something we can do. But we don't need to add to it. And so Paul asks them that question about, what about the Holy Spirit? Did the law bring you the Holy Spirit? No, it didn't. Second question. How are you sanctified? How are you set apart? Did the law set you apart? No. It was your faith in Jesus Christ. See, Satan tempts us to not rely or to rely on our own understanding. You see that all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Satan tempts us to rely on our own understanding, our own efforts, our own merits. But we don't need that. All we need is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the great equalizer, because Jesus Christ extends his love to everyone, no matter who they are. Number three, have you suffered for nothing? Paul is really addressing some of the persecutions that persons in the churches throughout the region of Galatia, which would be in southern Turkey at that time, had experienced. He said, have you gone through all these persecutions for nothing? No, you're persecuted. If you are a Christian, you will be persecuted. You were persecuted then. And let me ask you something now. Are you persecuted now for being a Christian? We've had a long history of some free pass. Are we going to have that free pass going forward? No, there are more people questioning now. Christianity is under fire. But here's my point. That's a good thing, because it gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. It gives us an opportunity to allow people to see who we really are, to see that we are God's children, that we are people who practice love. We are people who will accept you and that will share the good news with you. We are people that understand the importance of prayer. We are people that understand why grace is so valuable, why mercy is so valuable, and why favor has been granted to us. So as these Christians were persecuted, do not think that we may not also be persecuted. But then we're reminded of something. Jesus told Peter something. And if you look in Matthew 16:18, he tells us, stand firm in the faith, because the gates of hell cannot destroy what? The church. The body of believers. We withstand the gates of hell. Then he asked the fourth question. What is the basis of the miracles God performed among you? See, in Acts, when it talks about the missionary trips to Galatia, Paul and Barnabas, we find in Iconium, performed many wonders and many signs. Miracles of God's power. And then in Lystra, we are told that Paul healed a lame man. He healed him. That's found in Acts chapter 14. Those were those miracles. They came from the power of faith in the gospel. And let me tell you something. Those miracles that you read about then, one of the things people say, well, that was then, nothing happened now. We have a miracle. We have a miracle in our midst. And if we don't think that they exist, then we're just blind. Because they're there. Lori is a miracle. It doesn't always happen. But in her case, it has. And we celebrate it. These miracles that Paul was talking about, 2,000 years later, God still shows up. God always will show up. So, point number three, we need to remember who we are. We share in Abraham's faith and blessings. And so I want to read to you two passages here. First, let's go back to Genesis and look at Genesis chapter 12. Listen to the call of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abraham didn't argue with God. He went out by faith to this land that was to be given. And then in chapter 15 of Genesis, we read this. The Lord came to Abraham and took him outside and said, "Look at the sky and count the stars, if you are able to count them." Then he said to him, "Your offspring will be that numerous." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. You see, and here's the point that Paul's going to make in his next verses from Galatians. Abraham responded to God in faith. The Galatians responded to the gospel in what? Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Are we Abraham's spiritual descendants? Yes, we are. We are God's children. We are God's children. And Paul was speaking not just to Jewish Christians, but to Gentiles. And for most of us sitting here, I believe we were Gentiles. Look what all happened all those years ago. We wouldn't be sitting here this morning if that gospel message hadn't continued. So who are we? We are children of God. That is our true identity. So Paul goes on in chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. "Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credit to him for righteousness, you know then that those who have faith are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, 'All nations will be blessed through you.'" And that is true. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. So, we can trust God. We are Christians who share Abraham's faith. We are spiritual children of Abraham. This is our true identity. Now, I want you to think about something, and what I'm getting ready to say may shock you. But I want you to hear it and hear it clearly. I appear to be an older white man. Notice what I said. I appear to be. Why did I say that? That is not who I am. That is not who I am. I am a spiritual being created in the image of who? God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Abraham. I am a child of Jesus Christ. I am a member of the kingdom of God. These demographic characteristics are just used to classify me. I am a child of God, and so are you. Your demographic characteristics do not define who you are. And that is why this revival and this awakening is going to pull people from all walks of life, because that's the only thing that matters. We are children of God. So, how do we keep our eyes on Jesus? I want to ask you a question. In what areas of your life, and also in what areas of my life, do I need to exercise more faith? Where do I need to trust Jesus more? And quit trying to second guess myself. Particularly as we are living through this pandemic. Is it finances? Is it relationships? Is it dealing with confinement? Is it suffering? Is it realizing that there are some things I cannot fix? You know, we like to fix things, but there's some things we cannot fix. Only God can do that. What about job? What about work? What about addictions that we may experience or encounter? What about discovering God's purpose and direction for our life? Are these areas where we can exercise more faith in Jesus Christ and learn to trust Him more? How is God using you and me and Berea Baptist Church to expand the kingdom of God? Do others see Jesus in you and me, or do they see something else? Does Berea Baptist Church bring glory to God? When people go by this building, what do they see and what do they think? We're having more people pass through. We need to make sure we set extra chairs. We'll make some invitations. I'm glad people are passing through. We're having an opportunity to connect and to interact. And people are getting to know us a little bit better. That's a good thing. Think about these scriptures. Think about the great commandment. Do we love God? And do we love our neighbor? Do we really understand and know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Do we really accept that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? All those are scripture passages I just shared with you. Those are scriptures. That's not something I made up. Those are scriptures that we have. If we have been sidetracked in any way, may we repent. May we remember what all Jesus has done and continues to do in our lives and in our church. May we share the gospel. May we mentor each other. Will we live a life that glorifies God and not ourselves? Because to be a church, our task is very simple and very straightforward. One, introduce people to Jesus Christ. Two, worship. Three, bring glory to God. We don't have to wander around all over the place. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Share the gospel, worship, and bring glory to God. Amen. So, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ.
as our Lord and Savior, not by our works, not by our accomplishments. We can choose to follow our own path, or we can choose to follow Jesus. We have a choice. For those that are listening, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today, right where you are. Please do it. Exercise that choice that you have. If you want to reaffirm your commitment to share the gospel, do it right now, right where you are. Because God does love you. God always has, and He always will, unconditionally. So as we close today, and we enter the mission field, and we face life's daily challenges, and yes, as we encounter evil, which we will, may we be strengthened by some additional words by Paul from the Galatians. Paul reminds us, may we put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the schemes of the devil. Amen.